This is Doug Miller. The Old Testament prophets sometimes seem to have gotten things a little bit confused, but did they? Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are going through the book of Zechariah. We have gotten now to the 11th chapter. We are beginning today with chapter 11, verse 1. So bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Zechariah 11:1, and let us see what the Lord has for us in this very interesting portion of the Word of God. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You are the only advertisers we have. So we would appreciate it if you just tell people about us. And we would doubly appreciate it if you would pray for us. Pray that the Lord will give freedom to our ability to express and send this word out. Pray for me that I will not stumble people, that I will not be offensive, but that I will tell the truth. Pray for those listening out there that their hearts will be opened and that the Holy Spirit will make Christ Jesus very plain before them and the gospel plain and that they can be saved. Pray that the Lord will expand this ministry outward. Pray for dialogue. We need your prayers. And we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now you say, why should I write? Well, why not? Always good to know you're there. Always good to know you're listening. Very encouraging to hear. You know, if we say things that you don't understand, maybe we can explain it or I can explain it. I don't like to use the royal we. I don't know why I'm doing it here, but we would love to hear from you. And that is a we because more than just this guy is involved in dialogue. Let us hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you want to email, and you don't like to write with pen and paper and ink, then email us. That's fine. We'll respond to an email. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you would like to look at our webpage, we can accommodate you on that, too. We've got one of those. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? Dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you and listen to you and answer your questions or not answer them, depending on my level of ignorance at the time. My telephone number down here at Dialogue, area code 405-535-9089. 405-535-9089. And you'll get a message, a recording of me. And in the recording, I'll say, leave a message and I'll get back with you. And if you leave a message, I'll get back with you. Just that simple. All right. 11th chapter of Zechariah. I don't know if your experience is like mine. And I don't know how much time any of you out there have spent reading the Old Testament prophets. But if you're reading the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, perhaps a little less with Ezekiel than some of the others, but certainly with Ezekiel too, and the minor prophets. And major and minor in this case does not mean that one of them is important and the others are less important, but it has to do with the size of the writing, the length of the writing. And, you know, Isaiah is in the place of major because there's 66 chapters in Isaiah. There are about 10 less than that in Jeremiah. Ezekiel has 48. And then you get down to the smaller books, you know, like Jonah and Hosea. And, you know, some of them only have one chapter. Habakkuk has three. And that's why they're called minor. If you read particularly the minor prophets, you might come away saying, well, it's just kind of all over the place. I can't make any sense of it at all. And, you know, we're talking along. If you were listening to Dialogue last week, I was talking about the regathering of Israel and the reestablishment of Israel in the land. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of his father David and will rule and reign from Mount Zion. That is a physical kingdom. He will physically be there. And if you are in a church where they teach anything other than that, I would advise you to get out of there. I don't know how much clearer I could make myself than that, but you do what you want to do. I'm telling you, the reign of Jesus will be physical. Now, we're in the 11th chapter, and it seems that God is going back and talking all about the scattering. What's going on here anyway? Well, you've heard me say this before, but let me say it again. The Old Testament prophets did not see and understand the church age at all. They didn't talk about the church. They didn't know anything about the church. That is why, incidentally, if you read the Gospels in the New Testament, the Gospels, the church is only mentioned twice, and that's in the book of Matthew. The other Gospel writers don't mention the church at all. And, of course, I hope you understand, the four Gospels are actually still the Old Testament. John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. You don't really get the New Testament until the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. That's where that begins. And up until that time, God is still dealing with the nation of Israel exclusively. Well, not totally exclusively. Yes, some good things were done to Gentiles. We have the centurion's son being healed by the Lord Jesus. We have the Syrophoenician woman's daughter being cleansed of an unclean spirit by the Lord Jesus. And there was some fallout, you know, crumbs from the children's table that the little dogs licked up and ate. But the Lord Jesus makes it very clear in the Gospels that he was sent to the nation of Israel. Now, and only to the nation of Israel. And if you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, fine, you don't believe it. You'd better read the Gospels carefully and go back in particular and read the 14th, 15th, 16th chapters of Matthew. And I hope you will come away understanding this. It is always to the Jew first and then to the Greek. The Jews got their chance. Did God know that they were not going to receive the Messiah, Jesus? Yes, he did. God knows everything. Had God made provisions for that? Yes, he did. The provision was that the gospel would go out to the Gentiles. After the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And if you have trouble with that one, read Romans 9, 10, and 11. And Paul will help you out there. It is because of their rejection that the gospel has come to us. And this is the so-called church age, the dispensation of grace that we are living through right now. And the Old Testament prophets just simply didn't see it. That's all. They didn't see it. And what they saw was, and what we've seen in Zechariah, they saw the return from Babylon. They saw things that went on prior to the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw things that went on during the Lord Jesus' earthly ministry. And they saw the final coming, the second coming of the Lord to this earth, and the reign, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the millennial reign of Messiah, they saw that. They wrote a lot about that. And the problem in trying to understand these men sometimes is that it all is kind of mingled up. And we've seen this time and again in Zechariah, how he will talk about things that were going on in his day and talk about things that were going to go on, you know, in 70 A.D. And then he will jump far ahead and he will talk about things going on in the millennial kingdom and the millennial reign. But he will not talk about the church age. And sometimes in the same chapter, he will talk about the judgments that fell on Israel in 70 A.D. after he's talked in the previous chapter about the millennial reign of Jesus. That's just the way it is. It is looking from mountaintop to mountaintop and not seeing the valley in between. Not because these prophets were rebellious, not because they were ignorant and just couldn't see and were just blind to it, but because God didn't reveal it to them. The church age is something that was not revealed until Paul came along. And I am telling you, I don't know, once again, what kind of teaching you're getting out there, but you can put this in the bank. The church is Paul's doctrine. And Paul is the one that if you want to know about the church, you will have to get it from, because it's his doctrine. And Paul makes it very clear in his writings that the church is a mystery that had been kept hidden by God until he, Paul, came along, and it was through him that God revealed it. Now, I mean, it's just that simple. And either Paul got it wrong and misled me, or these Old Testament prophets have got it wrong, but Paul didn't get it wrong, friends. And that's why I have said and will continue to say and will say to any of you I can get in touch with out there and anyone whose attention I can get, you get with Paul and stick to him like glue. You cannot go wrong. And don't be like the people Paul talked about in the second letter to Timothy. All they in Asia have forsaken me, turned away from me. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, shame on them. And it's to their sorrow that they did that. But you stick to Paul. But now we are looking here in this 11th chapter to something about the nation of Israel. Why is the nation of Israel important to us? Because Israel is God's time clock. Israel in the land. It is by the nation of Israel that all these prophecies are brought to pass and are going to unfold. Once again, repeating myself, I know that I'm repeating it, all prophecy in the Bible centers in on the nation of Israel. Nothing in this Bible, except a few smatterings here and there and a few sort of peripheral comments and secondary prophecies that have anything to do with Gentiles or the Gentile nations, unless those Gentile nations are somehow affecting Israel. Prophecy is about Israel. Now let's look at this 11th chapter of Zechariah and read some of what God says. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Now Lebanon is a country that's over there right now in the Middle East, and it's basically the same country that we have here in the Bible. And Lebanon is coming under judgment. But I am persuaded that this Lebanon, that the Lebanon is that we're talking about here in the 11th chapter of Zechariah, is not Lebanon as it exists today. Although it is true that judgment is coming to Lebanon and to Syria and to Egypt and to all the nations that are surrounding Israel right now and trying to wipe them out. But that's another story. Right now we are looking at something that has happened already. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the village is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Now, once again, if you were listening last week, and we had this marvelous chapter, the 10th chapter of Zechariah, about God's grace, his unconditional promises to regain Israel, We turn right around and jump into the 11th chapter of Zechariah. And unless you understand what I've just been talking about how the first and second comings are mingled up together in here and the prophets didn't always differentiate, you'll have a lot of problems with this. But don't worry about it. Just let the Bible say what it says. We are talking here about the first scattering, 70 A.D. Look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold them not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of the king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. Woe! The Lord Jesus predicted this, didn't he? He predicted it very clearly in the so-called Olivet Discourse and in the parallel passages in Mark and Luke. He told his disciples that the temple, and this would be the temple, part of it at least, that was built in Zechariah's day. The temple was coming down. It was going to be destroyed, and they would be scattered throughout to the ends of the earth. It happened. It happened. Did Israel repent? No. Did they accept Christ as their Messiah? No. What happened to them? Well, you tell me. You don't have to tell me. I know what happened to them, and so do you. They were scattered. I will, look at verse 7, feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands. And I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. And that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. Now, beauty and bands here, these are names that apply to Israel and Judah. These two groups that we saw last time are going to be brought back to the land and wedded again and become one nation. But at this time, they are still, you know, the one, Israel, had long since gone into captivity at the hands of the Assyrians, whom God subsequently judged. Israel, at the end of, you know, about 500 B.C. or so, went into captivity at the hands of the Babylonians, whom God judged. The remnant came back here in roughly, you know, if you look at it, well, this is about 517 B.C., after 70 years of being out, and this was just a small group that came back, and they too are falling under judgment and are going to be judged, and they have been. And a part of it is the scattering and the way they have been treated in their dispersion out of the land and out to the ends of the earth. And all you have to do is look at history. They were persecuted in Poland, in Russia, in Germany, in France. France is an interesting one, incidentally. Hard to find a group more anti-Semitic than the French. And somehow they skated in all this deal. And we don't say much about the French or the Poles or Germans or the Austrians. But Germany somehow took the brunt of the blame for what happened to Israel. And Germany's only a part of the problem. England, very anti-Semitic in many ways. And on it goes. And, of course, the punishment and the persecution that fell on Israel is just astounding. It's amazing that they have survived, but they have. They have. And, friends, listen to me. They're not going anywhere. Israel's going to stay around. Anyone who thinks Israel is done for, you have got another thing coming. Let's read verse 10. I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. that it was the word of the Lord. Now, the breaking of the covenant is not the unconditional covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the covenant that God made with Moses under the law that said, you can stay in the land if you keep my law. Now, we are about out of time, but I want to read verse 12 and verse 13 even, because it is very clear what this is talking about. I said unto them, to who? To Israel, to the Jews rather, in Jerusalem and in Judea, that God had, says right here, I will break my covenant with them. If ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Is it clear to all of you out there who is doing the talking here? Isn't it clear enough that it is the Lord God? It is. In fact, look back at verse 4 of chapter 11. Yahweh Elohim, he's the one doing the talking. Ergo, it follows as the night does the day, just in simple logic that is very easy to see, that the Lord Jesus is God. He is Yahweh Elohim, because the one talking in verse 4, unless you can show me where someone else starts talking, is the same one talking in verse 12. And he says, they set my price at 30 pieces of silver. Now this, once again, is the Lord Jesus talking. And the Lord, in verse 13, said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. We know when that prophecy was fulfilled. And we know that the Lord Jesus is the one that was valued at 30 pieces of silver. And who set the price on him? It was the scribes and the Pharisees. You say, well, it was Judas Iscariot. Well, now, Judas took the money, but it was the scribes and Pharisees that agreed to the price. Let me tell you something about these men. They were not deceived. They knew very well who Jesus was. But they are the ones, and they call him the deceiver. They are the ones who have deceived the people. And the people, by and large, Jews, remain deceived unto this day. They will not and cannot admit as a people and as a group generally that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of God. But look at this. Zechariah, so long before, and I'll ask all of you to just consider this. Jesus had nothing to do with setting this thing up. He didn't make them set this price for him. This price was set by them, 30 pieces of silver. And what happened to the money? It was cast out, and it was used, as it were, to buy the potter's field to bury strangers in. Think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.